make a start. Good evening and a really warm welcome from me to our event tonight, which is our Year 8 and Year 9 Curriculum Information Evening. In a moment, I'll just give an explanation and an overview of what to expect tonight. Firstly, I just have to do some housekeeping regarding things like fire drills and evacuations. As you would imagine, we're not planning to do a fire drill or a fire alarm test during the next hour. So if the fire alarm does sound, then exit the building via the external doors in which you came. Okay, thank you. So tonight's event, if you've been to one of these before, then you should know what to expect. If you haven't, then the clue really is in the title with regards to information. So we will be sharing with you a lot of information tonight. So whether your child is in Year 8 or Year 9, it will be relevant to you. The slides and the audio recording will be saved and it will be made available on the website. So please don't feel you need to recall everything or make notes, because you will be able to go back and look again at all the information on the website in the next couple of days. And of course, regardless of what year your child is in, it's a really important year for them. So whether they're in Year 8 and they're just beginning to explore a little bit more and learn what it means to be a student at the Radcliffe School, or whether they're in Year 9, and as I'm sure we'll hear, they're building towards their choices and the options that they're going to take in Year 10 and 11 when they get into Key Stage 4. So we had, we've got a number of presenters, and you can see the names there on the screen. So a number of my colleagues will be speaking to you tonight about their own area of expertise, and they'll introduce themselves as we go on. But I just want to finish by just considering a day in the future that may seem a long way off for you and your child, but trust me, it will come around very quickly, and that's their GCSE results day. Happening. See the photos there of our class of 2025, so they're the Year 11 students who've just left us, and you can see lots of happy faces, lots of celebration. We do have a tradition at the school where we invite in early the children who've done particularly well, the people who've really attained high grades, or the ones who've made the most progress since they joined us in Year 7. And, you know, my colleagues tonight will be talking about how your child can get into really good habits and get prepared, you know, and really focus on the studies. And I think the one thing that all the happy, smiling, successful students on the screen had in common is that they got organised early. They got into good study habits early. They were all really, really good, really effective, independent learners who not only worked hard in school, but worked hard at home as well. So I think that's hopefully something, and hopefully by the end of tonight, you'll have picked up many ways in which you can support your child to get into those really good habits and to lay the foundations for that success in the future. And finally from me, just to reflect that the results we got this year were once again really strong. We're really pleased with the overall performance of that cohort. You know, so we feel we've got really good procedures, a really good curriculum in place that really supports students to do well and succeed and achieve those top grades and go on to greater success in the future. So my colleagues tonight will explain how that's going to happen, what that's going to look like specifically in year. I'll hand now to Miss Catlow to speak about our overall curriculum and a few other issues as well.
Good afternoon. Really lovely to see so many of you here. And just to build on what Mr. Craig's just been saying about what it is that leads to those really strong outcomes, over the last couple of weeks, we've been meeting with each head of department to talk about the results, to look at the successes, to look at the things we can learn, and to really plan for how we can make changes for our Year 10 and 11 going forward. And the common thing that has come out of every single meeting so far is that the students who have performed the best, the students who've exceeded their targets, without fail, are those students who asked for extra questions and practice, asked for extra feedback, attended revision, attended intervention, and were working at home. And that is without exception across the board. And that doesn't happen in March of Year 11. That starts in Year 7, and that starts with those habits of working really hard in class and asking if they're unsure, but also of going home, revisiting what they've learned, having extra practice, and really throwing themselves into their studies so that they can achieve their personal excellence and do the best that they are able to do. I'll talk a little bit more about that towards the end of this section. But I just wanted to start by talking to you a little bit about our curriculum and why we do what we do and what the purpose and intent and vision for our curriculum decisions have been. We are absolutely committed to providing all of our young people with the highest quality of education for them to achieve their personal excellence. It is our job to provide that foundation and that knowledge and access to that learning so that students can absolutely fly. And it is the student's job to then take that knowledge and practice and apply and experiment and play with it and work out what they can do with that knowledge. It is about having that strong base of knowledge, but it is also about tackling social inequality. You know, there's an awful lot going on in the world and in our country right now, and a lot of that is based around people who feel that they haven't got what they need, they haven't got access to what they deserve. And we firmly believe that one of the key ways we can enable our students to go out in a world and be incredibly successful is for them to leave us with a really strong collection of qualities and qualifications that give them access to whatever it is they want to do. In assembly this morning with Year 10, we talked about having aspiration. We talked about the fact that we might have students sat here who feel like they want to be astronauts or news presenters or whatever it is that they desire, and yet they might sit there and think, oh, but that's not for me, or I could never do that. But somebody's got to do those roles. Somebody's got to go and work for NASA. Somebody's got to go and work as an engineer. Why not our students? And one of the things we're working really hard and that we need your support with is to help our students to believe that whatever it is they want to do and achieve, they can do it if they're prepared to work for it. But it isn't going to land in their lap. They aren't going to be given it for free. And so they've got to decide what it is that they want and how hard they are prepared to work for it. And that is what will give them turn out really well-qualified, resilient, independent, confident young adults who can go out and make incredibly positive contributions to their communities. And again, I will give you a line I gave to the Year 10s this morning. If we send them out into the world at the end of Year 11 with 9 grade 9 GCSEs, well, that's lovely. But if they're also not very nice people, not very kind, not very helpful, if they don't make the world a better place and leave places better off than when they got there, then we haven't done the right thing. We have failed them. And so, yes, it is about making sure that our students have access to these qualifications that give them that passport, but it is also about developing them into well-rounded, confident young adults who can go in the world, hold their place, and bring about change for good. So that is our vision, and our intent through that is that we provide a really purposeful and rich curriculum that gives access to a really deep subject knowledge. A few years ago, we had reforms in GCSEs, and that was when we changed from grades of letters to grades with numbers. But part of that was changing the qualifications and the exams so that no longer would students be able to do well just by learning a surface set of facts. Now it's really difficult to do well in those exams unless there is a depth of understanding. So for example, in maths, as Ms. Holt will talk about later on, it's no longer enough at GCSE to just be able to learn some formula and some quick calculations. They've got to understand the maths and they've got to understand how they can then apply that to different problems. And so we need to be able to get that real depth of knowledge at Key Stage 3 up really well for GCSE. Our students have access to a broad range of subjects. No student is barred from any subject at Key Stage 3 or 4. And for many of you in the room, this will be your child's options year. And when we get to that process and that part of the year after Christmas, you will see that we have a wide range of subjects available with some real variety, but that every subject is open to every student. So we are not a school who puts a cap on those who can take separate sciences. We are not a school that puts a limit on students who can access computer science. And they are both subjects that many schools will put a cap on in terms of who is able to choose those subjects. If our students want to take separate sciences and computer science and sport and dance, then they are able to do that, and we will support them through those choices. All that we ask is that our students, supported by you, make choices that they're going to work really, really hard in order to achieve their personal best. Because in terms of that next step to college, beyond English and maths, colleges don't really care what subjects you are going in with. All they care is the quality of the grade and the best grades possible. So we want our students to acquire that knowledge, but to retain it. Because actually there's a huge amount of knowledge tested at GCSE, and therefore we have to make sure that we're doing that testing at Key Stage 3 as well, so that knowledge is something that is returned to and embedded and that students can then apply. And we also focus on those really key skills of literacy, numeracy, and developing that spiritual, moral, social and cultural development. So again, focusing on that whole student and not just their academics or payment. However, in case you're not really sure what sort of structures your students are in, we split our students into two blocks, and each of those blocks has six groups. And the blocks are equal in terms of prior attainment, so they will have been put together based on English and maths performance at Key Stage 2, and we literally split the year group equally in half, with half in each side. In terms of the groups themselves, most subjects in each of those two sides will have five mixed attainment groups plus one slightly smaller group where those students might just need a little bit more support and a slightly different approach to the curriculum, but they still access the same curriculum and knowledge. For those of you who are in here representing somebody in year nine, that will be a real difference for you. Because in year 7 and 8 you will have been used to a completely set set of classes, with a top set down to a set 6 in each side. Last year in year 7 we introduced mixed attainment for Key Stage 3 for the first time to do it wholesale, and it's been incredibly successful. We believe that all students have access to higher quality implementation, they are more able to learn from their peers. And we also find that the social mix in terms of their behaviour and attitude to learning is much improved when they are in mixed attainment settings, and that is supported by research. So this year, with the year 8s moving into year 9, we made the decision to regroup the year group and put everybody into those mixed attainment groupings. And so far, 2 and a bit weeks in, I think anecdotally the feedback is that that has been incredibly successful in terms of... In English, there's a slight difference to that in that they are mixed attainment with that support group, but there will be one top set on each side. And that, again, is supported by evidence that suggests those students with the very highest level of attainment sometimes do better when they are with peers of their own sort of attainment range. But we're working really hard to ensure that the students who aren't in that top set are still being stretched to achieve the very highest grades. And in English particularly, as Miss Kalit will talk about later, when we get to GCSE, there are no tiers. We don't have higher and foundation, and therefore every student has access to every grade. And again, we go back to, there is nothing off the table if students are prepared to work hard for it. In drama, music, art and DT, what we call our practical block, we have six equal mixed attainment groups. So there's no top set, there's no support group. And then in PE, we have six mixed attainment single gender groups. But all students, regardless of the group that they're in, whether they're in an English top set, whether they're in a support group, whether they're in mixed attainment, have access to the same full and broad curriculum, and literacy development being prioritised through reading and grammar lessons, which stand separate to the English curriculum. So if your student is in one of those smaller support groups, please rest assured they are not following a different curriculum. There are not different plans, there are not different lessons, it's just that there may be additional scaffolding and support in those lessons to ensure that they are able to access that high level of knowledge that every student needs. And students do follow a 2-week timetable in order to fit everything in. So you can see up there for years 8 and 9, these are the subject learning hours for each subject. So you'll see the highest allocation, as I'm sure you could understand, goes to our core, English, Maths and Science. Maths has one extra lesson due to the increase in content, and then that will go to science as well at Key Stage 4. But in addition to the English 6 lessons, if you look at the bottom of that list, there is also an additional lesson per fortnight for English grammar, because we really do feel that those building blocks of grammar are incredibly important to support our students' reading and writing. And an additional hour per fortnight goes on reading, and that's spent in the library doing a mixture of reading, some intervention work And for those students who need some additional literacy intervention, there are then one-to-one reader listeners that work with them there as well. For any further information on our curriculum, I'd really welcome you looking at our website. If you find the curriculum tab at the top there, what you'll be able to see for each subject is their particular vision and their curriculum intent, but you'll also be able to see the long-term plans for the subject. So tonight you're going to get an introduction to the long-term plans for English, Math, Science, but they are on the website for every subject, so you can see what your child should be learning at any point in the year. And as always, if you've got any questions about curriculum or anything tonight, please do get in touch and we'll be happy to have a further chat with you. And that just tells you the extra bits that we access through the curriculum element of the website. And you'll see there the third heading down is curriculum information evenings. And as Mr. Craig has already said, once the video and the audio and everything has been sorted, that will go on the website. And what we will do is we will then send you a further message. Just want to talk to you a little bit about teaching and learning here at the Radcliffe School. And we absolutely believe, along with the evidence, because we are really an evidence-supported school, that great teaching is the most important lever for school improvement. The best thing we can do for your child to help them achieve at their very, very best is to make sure they've got really great teachers in front of them. And so, as well as individual departments working on the quality of teaching implementation in their subjects, we also have a really comprehensive professional development programme to support that as well, that every member of teaching staff is involved in. I didn't want to sort of blind you with lots of information about teaching and learning, about the different bits of the lessons particularly, but I think there's some really key elements to our teaching and learning offer here that I just wanted to have a quick look at with you. We work around a system called PROUD here, which is about students being proud of their work and presenting it proudly, but also that idea of them respecting their learning. And one of our core values as a school is respect, respecting our own learning and respecting that of others. And we demonstrate that through the work we do in our books and that output. And you should be able to see that when books come home. We give lots of opportunities for teacher feedback in lots of different ways. So there will be ongoing verbal feedback in every lesson, and that might be small interactions with an individual student, it might be whole class following a piece of work in the classroom. There will be live modelling where a teacher works through and talks about how to do a particular piece of work before students have a go themselves, or it might be written feedback or whole class feedback following an assessment. We use self and peer assessment. There is research and evidence to suggest that when students are involved in the unpicking and evaluation of their own work, it helps them to understand it better. And we also use what we call our make a difference, our MAD time. So following any sort of assessment or any sort of feedback that has been given in quite a formal way, students will be given the opportunity to improve their work. And so we do ask students to have a couple of different colour pens. We use our red pens to show where that self and peer assessment has been done, so that it's really clear to students where they've been able to reflect. And then we use the blue pen, again, to make it really clear where those improvements have taken place, so that the student, when they look back at that, can see where they've improved their work. But as a teacher, I can also look and see what the difference has been following the feedback and whether their understanding is better. So I know sometimes it might sound a bit crazy that we ask for all these different colour pens, but there is a rationale why we do that. And it is really important that our students do have their equipment each day, because it just allows us to move through the lesson more smoothly. We have a real focus on literacy throughout every lesson, and Mrs. Hamilton will talk to you more about that at the end. And we do have a real focus on learning at home, and I'll talk to you a little bit about that in a minute or two. So in terms of how we structure our lessons, we really carefully plan them and we follow a really careful structure. And again, this is evidence-backed. So in every lesson, we start with a connect, which is about linking prior learning to what's going to happen in that lesson, because that's how students make switches, and that's a pattern of knowledge. It's where the teachers will really support students. And then what we want students to do is work really hard in that demonstrate phase. And that is the point where they get to really show their thinking and work hard and try their best. And that's where we really need our students to not give up, because sometimes they will find it hard. But what we need to build is that resilience to keep going. Students will always be sat in an up-to-date seating plan. which will support them interacting with the full range of students in the class, even the people, and particularly the people who aren't their friends. And we will always be at the door to greet students, remind them of expectations so we can start lessons in a really strong way. Where there might be the odd slight issue in a lesson, because they're teenagers, we do have a really effective protected learning system which allows students to be supported really effectively without impacting the rest of the classroom. And the first point of that is their year manager or assistant year manager coming and just having a word with them and a chat to reset expectations and get them back in the lesson as swiftly as possible. We try at all costs to avoid removing students from lessons because they need to be in there for their learning. One thing that we've introduced newly this year, and I think it is really important to share this with you because it is language that we're using a lot with our students, is what we're calling classroom climates. And this is a way of us being able to really clearly communicate with students the expectation for how they are interacting in the lesson. They support our drive for talk. I think for a long time, some teachers have felt that a quiet classroom is a really effective classroom and it's a safe classroom. But actually what we want is actively involved in their learning and not just passively sitting there. So we are trying to build these structures in to really encourage our students to talk to one another, to talk to us, to talk through their thinking. And some of them are finding it really hard. Some of our students, surprisingly, do not like to talk. So I'd really encourage you to support that whenever you can at home, to really engage them in conversation about their learning. Ask them what they've done in their lessons that day. Ask them what home learning they've got. Ask them what they want to learn about tomorrow. Because the more we can work together to really build their confidence in talk, the more they will engage and the more they will get out of their learning. So we have these three climates. Classroom climate one is one voice, whether that's the teacher or a student answering a question, it's one person talking and the rest actively listening. Climate two is where we're really encouraging that discussion. So this might be pairs, it might be groups, it might be a whole class debate, but it's that opportunity for students to find their voice. Because what we want is for our students to be able to leave here and take a seat at any table and hold their own, whatever the topic and whoever they are with. And then our climate three is that opportunity for some silent, independent work to give students the opportunity to really think about what they're doing so that the work that they're producing is the very best that it can be. Final little bit on teaching and learning. I appreciate it's been a lot of information. If you do not already have this app, I would really, really strongly advocate you downloading it. It's the MCAS app or the My Child and engage your child's time at school. So through MCAS, you will be able to get anytime access to their attendance, their timetable, their behaviour and achievement records. Reports will be put on there, and other important letters and messages will be on there as well. If you don't have the app, you can access it by that QR code, or you can just go onto the website, and if you find the section there for MCAS, the QR code is there as well with a link. So if that isn't something you currently have, I'd really, really strongly advise you download that app because it will allow you to really communicate with us and engage with us in a really supportive way. If you do have any further questions about teaching and learning, my colleague, Mrs. Robinson, who's the assistant head teacher, who unfortunately couldn't be here tonight, but that's her name if you need to speak to her about anything regarding teaching and learning. And then finally from me, just a word on independence. It is about making every minute count. And I think sometimes in year eight, year nine, particularly year eight, it can feel like GCSEs are a really long way away. But I promise that time will fly and they will be here before you know it. And what we need to do, as I said earlier, is to start between us to really build our students' confidence to become independent, to become self-motivated, to know that they need to do a little bit of extra, even when they're not being completely nagged, although we might need to nag them a little bit. So it's about our students taking that personal responsibility. It's about students, if they've not understood something, asking for that help, asking a teacher to explain. If they come out of a lesson and they've not been quite sure, going back to that teacher and just asking them to go through it with them again, or trying them under materials online or on our website that would support that understanding. It's about them understanding their strengths and weaknesses through the feedback they get from us, but then also by talking to their teachers and allowing us to help them Home learning will be set via the app at the bottom of that screen, which is Satchel 1. And again, if you've got the MCAS app and Satchel 1, you will be able to access that home learning, so you'll be able to see what your child has been set. We are looking at developing a new approach and policy for home learning over the next few weeks, but for now, everything will be logged on Satchel 1. So if you're ever unsure whether your child has homework, that would be your first place to check, because it will tell you what assignments are due. But I would also encourage you to ask your child what extra work they've got, what home learning they've got. And if they say they haven't got any, then that's not true. Because even if they've not been set something specific by their teacher, what they should be doing is going back over the lessons they've already studied, having a look at Sparks Maths or English or Science and doing some extra practice, having been and asked their teacher for a few extra practice questions to have another go. There are lots and lots of ways your children can become independent and do that little bit extra. Because what we don't want is getting to year 11 and suddenly we've got really stressed students because they feel they've got to do 3 and 4 hours revision a night, because cramming does not work. That revision for year 11 starts now. It starts the moment they come through the door. And so the more we can build those habits of doing that extra 10, 15 minutes every night, that's all it is, the better. As I said at the start, it is absolutely that is the key to success. It isn't about prior attainment. The best GCSE grades do not go to the students who got the best SATs results. I taught a student who in year 11 was being predicted a grade 3 in her English literature. Repeated assessments, grade 3. And in another class, and I promise you this is true, there was another student who was being predicted grade 9s, and he is currently at Oxford studying maths. And when the results came in literature, she had a grade 9 and he had a grade 5. And when we unpicked it was because he thought he had it in the bag and he didn't do any extra work. And despite the fact he was incredibly intelligent and a very smart young man, because he didn't put the work in, he didn't get the grade. Whereas the student in my class, it was nothing to do with me. She was getting a 3 from me, but she was going home, she was revising, she was revisiting, she was practicing, and she came out with a grade 9. And she was not on paper a grade 9 student. That's one example of many, and I'm sure my colleagues could give you other examples to just prove that it is not attainment on paper that will get the best results. It is how hard our students will work, and it starts now. So please encourage your children and students, if you're sat here, please take this message and just start getting in a habit of extra 10 minutes every night, and we can gradually build that up as we move into Key Stage 4. But if you're unsure about anything, please do speak to your teachers. And again, unfortunately, Miss Arnold, who's the assistant head teacher, was unable to be here tonight, but she does lead our programme of intervention and raising standards and home learning. So again, if you've any questions, please do direct them to her in the first instance. So I hope that's given you a bit of a whistle stop of our curriculum and how we try to really impart that subject knowledge to our students. I appreciate it has been a lot of information, so when you do get the recording, if you've then got any further questions, please do get in touch and we'd be more than happy to have a further conversation with you. I'd now like to pass over to Mrs. Begum, who is our Key Stage 3 Science Curriculum Lead.
I'm not as tall as you, Miss. Hiya, my name is Mrs. Begum and I'm Curriculum Lead for Science, and I'm just going to quickly run through what your child will study in year 8 and 9. So in year 8, they will study all the three sciences, the biology, chemistry, and physics. They are colour coordinated. You've got the biology units in green, you've got the chemistry units in red, and the physics units in blue. Is that year 9? Sorry. So I missed year 8. So year 8 as well. So in year 8, they'll study biology, chemistry, and physics. In year 9, they'll also study biology, chemistry, and physics. And this is the order that it's taught. And there's a reason why it's in that order. It's always building upon what they've learned before, retrieving and linking to prior knowledge. In terms of assessment in science, we have a number of things that we do. We've got, first of all, the midpoint reviews, where every unit that they're taught, halfway through the unit, the students complete a midterm assessment review where we mark it, where the misconduct actions are, so when we're planning for our lessons, we can look at that. At the end of each unit, They have a summary sheet again. It's recalling the facts, retrieving information they've learned throughout the lessons. And then we collect it back in, we give them it back, and we do mad time on it, making a difference on it. In terms of home learning, we've got... home learning, all of it is set on Spark. So as Ms. Catlow said, it's all set on Satchels, but the actual platform we use, like Maths and English do, we've set it all on Sparks. So it's set on a Monday, so every Monday homework is set, and students get about 7 days to complete it. So it's set on a Monday, it's due on a Monday, the following Monday. So if they do say they haven't got homework, science homework has been set every Monday for the rest of the academic year, okay? It should take them approximately 30 minutes. If they do get stuck, there is a pop-up page that comes up to help them with the questions. In order to access the Science Sparks page, the students log on to the student portal, click onto Spark Science, and then it asks for the email address and the password. Once they've logged on once, it remembers it for future use. Right, so when they do log on, it comes up with questions, and because it's set for 30 minutes, the questions are very long. The student has spent on the homework. What questions they've found difficult? Have they had to do the? Have they done the question in one go, two goes, or three goes? So when we when we actually look at our class list, we can see what questions students got stuck on, and then we can actually address it in class. Right. Obviously, in science, they come across lots of difficult scientific terminology. So in order to address that, what we have got, what we do give students is like a literacy worksheet with all the lesson titles, with all the keywords, with the definitions. Again, when it comes to revision, they can use that to revise. So that is done in year 8 and in year 9. For every topic, they will get one of these. What else we do is a comprehension sheet. So for every unit that they study, there is a comprehension sheet to go alongside. For example, this one, it's on Elon Musk's and SpaceX. So we try and relate it to the science in the news or what's happening around the world. Right, okay. So important how you can help. So make sure, encourage them to complete the home learning on time. If homework is set on a Monday, get them to do the homework on a Monday, science homework on a Monday, so they've got the Tuesday, the rest of the week to allocate to different lessons. So homework on a Monday for science, get that done, over and done. Encourage them, get them done. And also in science, what we've said, the people that complete it on time or on the night, they get extra reward, extra positive rewards for it. Every half term, students will have an assessment which kind of assesses what they've learned in the unit. So for example, we're in the third week, so coming up to October, half term, just before the half term, they will have an assessment. So when it comes to all the last week, encourage them to bring the books home, have a look at what they've done, speak to them about what they're doing, find a way that they've enjoyed revising. Is it making cue cards? Is it making posters? There's lots of online resources, BBC Bite Size, or sometimes students prefer to watch, you know, small video clips on YouTube, that they can do that as well. Talk about science in the news, watch a bit of Brian Cox or David Attenborough's documentaries on BBC, but everything helps, just talking to them. It doesn't necessarily have to be just what they're doing in school. If you heard something in the news, if you read something, talk to them about it. And lastly, we've got Science Club, which runs on a Wednesday. It is very popular, so it runs on a first-come, first-basis, so first 15, 20 are allowed in. It's where they can try experiments that we don't normally do in class or take learning beyond lessons. So if you are interested, encourage them. At the next extracurricular activity, they can do Science Club on a Wednesday. Over to you, Ms. Kalik.
Good afternoon. My name's Miss Callick, Head of English at the Radcliffe School. And just here to talk a little. So I'm going to start with just looking at our mission statement. So we're a faculty, and the teachers in English really want to foster a passion and love of English in our students. We want to encourage them to be literary explorers and open worlds and cultures that are different to their own. And we really need to develop a love of language in our students. We need them not just for success at GCSE and at Key Stage 3 to be articulate communicators, but for success in later life as well, if that's further education and employment and just in the wider world. And fundamentally, what we're trying to do is create opportunities through empowering our students by breaking down walls and ceilings and barriers. And we do this through, like, you know, taking our students on a journey through our curriculum. So if you've been at previous curriculum information evenings, you'll know that in year seven, we focus on the origins of English, and we start to build the foundations and the building blocks that will take them through Key Stage 3 and Key Stage 4. But in year eight, they've already studied, like, the story of English and how that came about. They start with Gothic literature. So we start with the Victorian era and how things that were happening during that time period influenced the literature of that time. They then move on to the poetry of Wilfred Owen, so poetry from World War I, before moving on to dystopian literature later on in the year. And what we're trying to show students is how the fears of the Victorians and the literature that we see there has become real during World War I, and how then becomes imagined again through that dystopian literature. Now, in year seven, they had been building the components of the academic language and being able to kind of create paragraphs, but they haven't brought it all together. And year eight really focuses on really developing their analysis skills, but making sure that they can write a cohesive, detailed, analytical paragraph, which is a skill that they need in both English language and English literature at GCSE. We also embed writing within those schemes. So they do some non-fiction writing where they learn how to write a letter, a formal letter, and they also do some creative writing at the end of the year. Year nine focuses on identity, and it's coming to the modern era. So I say that, but we start with Shakespeare's The Tempest, but rather than looking at it at face value and just looking at character the depictions of character, we study it through a modern lens, and we study it through looking at how characters are presented from different cultures and different ethnicities and backgrounds, and looking at the problems of those representations. And that kind of leads us quite nicely into then looking at poetry from different cultures, because we want to ensure that the literature that our students are exposed to not only kind of looks outwards and looks at kind of different people, but also reflects themselves in that literature as well. We end the year in terms of reading with a post-colonial play, Small Island. So that was added onto the curriculum a few years ago. It focuses, and it's a rush generation curriculum that our students really enjoy. They seem to love and relate to the characters and the themes. And it also sets us up quite nicely for some of the ideas that they're going to come across at GCSE. And we do some transactional writing at the end of the year as well. So we've looked outwards and we've looked inwards, and then we're using the things that they've studied as inspiration for their own writing about things that they feel strongly about. Now, year nine, in terms of skills, it's building the building blocks of an essay, making sure it's not just paragraphs, but different lines of inquiries, and being able to extend their writing so that we're bridging that gap between Key Stage 3 and Key Stage 4. Alongside our normal curriculum, as Miss Catlow alluded to earlier, we do have an English a grammar curriculum. And this is really, really important to us. Many of us didn't actually study grammar explicitly at school, but it's kind of left us on the back foot a little bit, and we want to ensure that our students and your children aren't in that same position. So year seven focused on word level, year eight focuses more on sentence level, and year nine is really about making sure that our students can not just be accurate with their grammar, but can be creative and use it for effect as well. And we think that this has been really powerful in kind of transforming our results at GCSE too. We've seen a real improvement in our writing and what they're achieving later on, may not have been able to achieve. In terms of assessment, we assess every day, but it's kind of quite low stakes. So we need to make sure that every lesson, you know, we've got low stake quizzes, memory platforms, just teacher questioning, because we want to ensure that if there are any misconceptions, any gaps in knowledge, we're picking them up and we're addressing them within the lesson themselves. But students will have three summative assessments a year. They'll assess students' reading and writing ability, but also their spoken language ability through speaking and listening assessments too. Home learning at Key Stage 3, we do want to encourage them, and I think this is kind of talked about, Miss Hamilton will talk about this as well, to be reading at home every single night, because we know that reading makes such a difference. But home learning's been designed to consolidate, extend and enrich the learning that students have developed in class. So the home learning is set at specific times during a scheme of learning where we feel that's the best place to test and for them to practice the skills that have been taught. They'll be set in the same way that it's set throughout school, in the same platforms. Your children should come home with booklets where they can keep that home learning. It's all together. And finally, how can you support? Well, like we said, encouraging your child to be reading every single day, making sure that they bring their reading book to school every day, checking that, you know, if spellings have been had there, or whatever home learning has been set, that they're doing that, they're keeping on top of that. And if you have any concerns, just to contact your class teacher or myself. Thank you.
Hi, good afternoon. So I'm Miss Holt and I'm the curriculum leader for mathematics. So just like English and science, I'm going to run through the curriculum that we're following with in maths. So at year eight, we follow the White Rose scheme of learning, and this builds on what they've learned in year seven. So it focuses on the key strands within maths, so our ratio, our algebra, data skills, number skills, and it's sequenced in a way so that they're repeating different topics throughout the year, so they're able to retrieve the information and learn it at a deeper level than what we did previously before the changes. We focus on fluency and problem solving questions, and like I said, it builds on the learning that they've already done in year seven. Similarly with year nine, their curriculum builds on what they've learned within year eight. So again, they're focusing on those key strands. So at the moment, we're moving on to a percentage topic, but they've already have got a lot of the key skills that is needed, and we're adding to that within the year nine. It's really important that throughout Key Stage 3, we're building those skills so that when we get to Key Stage 4, they already have a strong knowledge of the basics that will be needed within their GCSE. So just like in the other subjects, we make use of mini whiteboards quite a lot. And this is where the teacher will be able to pick up any misconceptions, and they'll be able to sort of personalise the learning of the class by adapting their lesson from what they're getting from the students' information from the whiteboards. Every 2 weeks, we do a green sheet sort of five-question assessment, where we just check in and see how students have got on with what we've been learning, and they're given the opportunity to perform mad time on that, where we can fix any mistakes, any misconceptions. At the end of each half term, we do a slightly longer one of these sheets, where we check in on everything that's been covered that half term, and again, just make sure that we're seeing where students are up to and offering that support and advice on anything that needs correcting. They will do three summative, so this is for both year eight and year nine, we'll do three summative assessments throughout the year. Now these will be, the dates for these will be given in advance to both students and parents, and we'll send out revision lists so that they're clear on what topics will be appearing on these assessments. These papers will cover both non-calculator and calculator questions because we feel it's important to check in that they're able to answer both types of questions. In preparation for that, we use home learning to help support with preparation for those assessments. And just like in previous years, we're continuing to use the Sparks Maths platform. So students will have already been able to log into this. Their username and passwords have not changed from last year. But if they do have any issues, if they speak to their maths teacher, we can reset it. But they can also do that on the website themselves. Our home learning is set on a Wednesday, and for both Year 8 and Year 9, it will start from tomorrow. So their first piece of homework will go out tomorrow, and it'll be due in the following Wednesday. Like what Ms. Begum was saying with the science, it's really important that they get into a good routine of not leaving that home learning until a Tuesday night to hopefully get it completed for the Wednesday, just in case something comes up. So it's finding a time within that week that you can sit down and do that homework. It should take about half an hour to an hour to complete, and getting in those good routines will set them in good stead going forward. If you are struggling to complete it at home, we do have a maths club on every lunchtime where computers and staff are available to help with the homework. But if they find that they are struggling with a question at home, on every single question, there is a video at the bottom which will talk through a similar example, which they can then use to help them answer the homework. And if your school, if the parent email is up to date for school, you will get weekly updates with how they're getting on. So that usually comes out on a Sunday. Now, Ms. Hamilton will talk about literacy across the school, and she'll mention how important it is. And within maths, it is one of our key focuses that we are doing. Because at GCSE, they need to be able to unpick what the question is asked, words and vocabulary. Each week, we do retrieval activities with a focus on literacy as well as maths concepts, just to help with that retrieval, remembering the different skills that are needed. And we're encouraging students to explain their reasoning. So as Ms. Catlow said, with that climate too, we're wanting them to vocalise what they are saying, their reasoning behind their working out. And we're helping them use that, practice using that precise mathematical language. So how you can help as parents. One of our key asks, or our big pleas, is to check the students are coming with the correct equipment to lessons. So this is, they need a geometry set, which includes a protractor and calculator with ruler and pencil, but also they need to have a calculator, a scientific calculator, for every lesson, because we'll be interchanging between topics that need a calculator and ones without. So if you could make sure they are equipped. And because what we found, if you're encouraging them to use it and they're getting used to practicing with their own equipment and not having to rely on other people or borrowing, they get used to how theirs works and they perform better with it. Like I said, monitoring the homework, so making sure it's completed on time. If they do have any issues, getting in contact with us and we'll be happy to help. Reminding children that in maths, the best way to progress in maths is just to keep practicing. So the more you're practicing the different types of questions, the easier they do get. Linking it to everyday contact, so maths is seen having those conversations. And the last little plea from me is just to have a positive mindset around maths. It might not have been your favourite subject when you were at school, but we don't want to put those sort of views onto the students. So just being positive about it, encouraging them to try their best and to achieve. And that's just my little plea for you. So thank you. I'll pass you over to Mrs. Hamilton.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm Mrs. Hamilton. So I look after literacy across the school. And if you were here last year, you'll have seeing this photo, this little picture that I showed last year, and I showed it because it reminds me of my my little boys. I have two little boys, and they're both blonde-haired. And just a couple of weeks ago, one came home and said to me, "Can we go to Rome?" And I said, "Why? Why do you want to go to Rome?" He said, "Because we've been reading in class about the Colosseum, and I want to go and see it." And it just, this picture kind of reminds me of this idea that our children, they want to know stuff, and we want them to know stuff, and we want them to see stuff, and sometimes we can't take them to Rome, and we can't take them to the other side of the world, and we certainly can't take them back into the past to experience things from the past. But what we can do is we can encourage them to read. We can encourage them to read books, because in books they can experience other countries, other cultures, other religions. They can experience the past, they can experience the future, they can experience all sorts of things that we can't take them to and show them, but they can learn about it through reading. And I passionately believe, and I say this over and over again, that reading fluency, being able to read well, is a golden ticket for your child. If you can encourage your child to be a reader, to read regularly, to read often, their reading will improve their ability to access the curriculum around them. And also it helps them to be a more knowledgeable, well-rounded adult as well. So just some other reasons as why I really would encourage you to encourage your children to read. We know that 25% of 15-year-olds actually have a reading age of 12 or under. Now, if we know that we do know the exam papers are written for a reading age of 16 or 17. So if your reading ages are 12, you're going to find that really difficult to access and read that exam paper, and you're not going to be able to do as well as maybe you would like to. 1 in 8 disadvantaged children don't own a book. Children who are weak readers will struggle as much in maths and in science as they do in English and other art subjects and written subjects. And we know that students are less able to learn in school if they don't have sufficient reading skills, because they're not going to be able to access the textbook, the revision guide, all of those things. So reading's incredibly important. And the 2017 GCSEs, we know they're more demanding, we know they put more knowledge in there, we know they put more writing in there, so students need to be able to access them, and the exams are now wordier. And so what we need to do while they're in Key Stage 3 is develop their reading confidence and make sure that they don't fall below their reading age. And we test our students every year to find out where they're up to with their reading age. We don't want their chronological age to be higher than their reading age. So if they're 12, we want their reading age to be 12 or above, and so on. But there are other benefits to reading which you might not know about. So we obviously have said they're going to achieve higher. Children who read books statistically gain higher GCSE loan results. But 19% of readers said that reading stops them from feeling lonely. So reading reduces loneliness. And we know that readers have less feelings of stress and depression than non-readers. And that studies have shown us that if you are a reader, you have a higher level of self-esteem and greater ability to cope in difficult situations. So just reading can improve not just our ability to access our curriculum, but also our everyday life. So a few other things: reading improves your sleeping pattern, have greater life satisfaction, and I love this one at the bottom: people who read for 3.5 hours a week, which is about 30 minutes a day, have a 17% higher life expectancy than those who don't. So reading makes you live longer, which I quite like. And 30 minutes of your day, by the way, is 2%. There's a bit of maths for Ms. Holt. 2% of your day to read for 30 minutes. And English are asking you to read for about 20. We say about 15 or 20 in the library, just 20 minutes a day to improve your reading. So I really would encourage you to get your children reading. And some of the things that we're doing in school to support them to do that, we have a PLG reading programme. So in year 8 at the moment, they're reading a book called Stay a Little Longer by Barley Ray. And our students love that book. They're reading it together with their PLG. And they are unpacking that using reciprocal reading skills. In year 9, they're reading Firebird, which is set during the Russian Revolution. So a really historical book, but it's got some strong female characters. So we're reading with them, encouraging them to read. We exact test them so we know what their reading ages are. We're working with them in the library on different interventions. We have one-to-ones. All of our students have access to the library at break time, a designated library lesson. They can access it at break time and lunchtime. Now this year we have introduced two things. So you've heard about Sparks Maths and Sparks Science. There is also Sparks Reader. It's not quite Sparks English because the English curriculum is vast and you can't get it down into something like Sparks as well. But it is Sparks Reader. And if you know about Accelerated Reader, which your children will have done in primary school and they're still doing here, it asks you to read a book and asks you questions at the end. The beauty of Sparks Reader is it asks you questions as you go. So it stops becoming a memory test. Can I remember what happened at the start of this book? And it is now a real test of comprehension. So that is available to all students. They can use that whenever they want. So if they say, I don't have any homework, say, log on to Sparks Reader and do some reading. Because all they have to do, it's when you're on Sparks Maths, there's a little tab and then you just select Sparks Reader instead, so you can switch between all of them really easily. Encourage them to read. They don't have to come and check in with us. They can just use that on any device, on the phone, on a tablet. They can do that without without our instruction. And if they've got no homework left, Sparks Reader is the answer. And the other thing we've got is something called Lexia Power Up. Now, this isn't for everybody, but this is a program that says a lot of those skills that Ms. Kallick was talking about at Key Stage 3, that the grammar skills and the word study skills that they need to have to be successful at GCSE, Lexia Power Up teaches those if there are gaps. So if your child has a gap in their ability to use a comma or where they're going to use a clause in a sentence or anything like that, it assesses their ability and plugs those gaps. So we've already started this week the Lexia intervention, and your child might have come home with a little piece of laminated card saying that they need to go into the library one morning a week, and that is just a log on to Lexia. It's going to guide them through some study to improve their study skills, their literacy skills, so that they're ready for GCSE. So what I would ask at home is that you encourage them to read. Read widely, read often, to use Sparks Reader, and if they're on the Lexia intervention, to encourage them to come to it, because it is really, really good. It's proven to be excellent for our students. And I suppose the last thing I would ask is that you would be a role model to your children. Because reading doesn't just improve their outcomes, but it also improves their way of life. It will improve them as a person. And I know that sometimes our children don't want to do things. My children sometimes don't want to do things. They don't eat the vegetables or go to bed. And I know what it's like to encourage a child to do something they don't want to do. But if they are here, I don't want to do it, but we know how good it is for them. We need to be the grown-up that stands in the gap and encourages them to do it and says, we have to do this because it is good for you. You might not be able to see it now, but I know the positive outcome it'll have for you. So please just encourage them to keep going with those things, even when they're hard to read, because it's really, really good for them. And just finally from me, after we've finished here, I'd just like to invite you up to our library. It's a wonderful space. If you come up to the library, I'll walk up, you can follow me up, and I've got some golden tickets. And if you take one home and give it to your child, they can bring it back into school and swap it for a free book, because no children should be without books at home.
Listen, and you've got more of information, so I'm going to keep this final bit really brief. Just a reminder there, I'm sure you don't need reminding about that, but your absolutely key ports of call in school are your pastoral teams. In year eight, we've got Miss Clegg, who is here tonight, who is the year manager. And currently the assistant year manager is acting up as year manager in year seven. But any member of the pastoral team is able to support that year group as well. And in year nine, you've got Mrs. Ford, who is also here this evening, and she is supported by Miss Prince. So if you do have any questions about your child's general experience at school, please do contact them. Or if there's any inquiries about anything we've talked about tonight, please do get in touch with one of us, and between us we can get you to the right place. Just to sort of sum up and pull together what you've been listening to tonight and the final key messages, it has been a lot of information, and some of it quite technical, and you will have access to this recording. But for me, there are three really key takeaways that if you remember nothing else from tonight, I really, really want you to take away. The first is that the most important thing your child can do is try their best with everything, whether that's at home, whether that is lesson, whether that's in extracurricular, whether that's just in their social time. Another of our core values is excellence. And if students are just aiming to be their personal best every single day in everything they do, then that's all we can ask. And if they aim really high and they have really high aspirations, they might not achieve them, but they'll achieve far better than if they'd aimed for something easy. So please do support and encourage them to always, always try their best. The second and the higher they will attain. So please support them with that. Ask them about their learning. Ask them about their homework. Help them with their homework. And ask them to really involve you in their learning so that you can then support them. And finally, as you have heard from multiple people, reading, reading, reading. It really is the key to everything else. And of course, what we would want more than anything is that our students are really passionate about reading and love books and are curious and want to explore them. But they are teenagers and they have Netflix and they have computer games and the internet. So if they don't want to read, then tell them it's 20 minutes homework every night and they have to read. And you, as Miss Hamilton says, need to stand in the gap between what they want to do and what they need to do for their health. If your child needed medicine and didn't want to take it, you would make them take it because it was what they needed. Please do the same to support their education, as you have done tonight attending. So please do join us in the library for refreshments and a free book. But I really would ask you, we are looking at how we can do these evenings differently going forward. We've got a few ideas, but we really want to know what you need and want from us. So please do scan that QR code if you can. It will take you a couple of minutes to fill in the form. Tell us what's worked well, tell us what you didn't get that you needed, and ask any further questions, and we will happily get in touch. But just on behalf of everybody, thank you so much for your time tonight, because this is what makes the difference, us working together. So thank you.